Book of Jonah, chapter 4. I don't have a lapel, guys. I don't know if I need it, but if you think I do, just bring one on up. I'll put some volume in this mic right here. Jonah, chapter number 4. And while you're turning there, again, it's good to see everybody out in the Lord's house this evening. I wanted to... Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and talk about the first part of that chapter. And maybe the Lord let us do that at some other time, because there is a lot of blessing in that about you and I being epistles. And Paul speaks a lot about that in that chapter, but we're not there. The Lord brought my mind over here to Jonah. Jonah chapter number 4. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? I want to talk about the story of Jonah here for a little bit, and the things that God prepares to prepare a heart. The things that God prepares to prepare a heart. If you look in this chapter specifically, in our reading, God had prepared in verse 6 a gourd. Then in verse 7, God prepared a worm. Then in verse 8, God prepared a vehement east wind. You think about all that God was doing here in the heart and life of Jonah. Everybody knows the story of Jonah. If you look back, how the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and said, arise in chapter 1, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is not before me. Now God used that gourd that Jonah, after it was all over with, after everything that had happened to Jonah, God had used that gourd to come out in a night and fade in a night, dry up in a night. And he used that gourd in the life of Jonah. He said, you had mercy on a gourd that was here one day and gone the next. Should I not have mercy on Nineveh? I mean, that Jonah would want that gourd to be there for a purpose, for his purpose. Well, what about God? Maybe he wanted Nineveh to be there for a purpose, for his purpose. So who is Jonah to be angry with God over sparing Nineveh? You know why Jonah didn't go, why he didn't preach. He said it himself in chapter 4. He said, God, I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He knew that if God had his way, they were going to find mercy, and he didn't want finding mercy. You know, there's something wrong with the believer's heart if somewhere in there we're not wanting to see the mercy of God over the destruction of God. We should want somebody to find grace and mercy rather than to see them fall hard under the hand of God's judgment, shouldn't we? But that God used the things that he did. You think about how that God prepared. God prepared a well. God prepared a well. The well did its job. It swallowed Jonah, didn't it? God had prepared before that a boat full of men. A boat full of men here Jonah caught the boat trying to flee. All the things that was prepared that did. God prepared that storm that made Jonah eventually confess and have the men throw him overboard. Then the well was prepared. And it finally spit him out. And then after he ran and God gave him the message, prepared the message. And then God prepared the gourd. God prepared a worm. God prepared a vehement east wind. All the things that God was preparing. God was preparing Jonah. God had a man prepared. Listen, Jonah was supposed to be prepared. Don't you think Jonah was supposed to be prepared? But he wasn't doing what God had prepared him to do. Everything else was doing what it was prepared to do. What are we prepared to do? What has God prepared us to do? He's prepared some pastor, some teacher, some evangelist, he tells us in the New Testament. But as saved people, he's prepared us all to be witnesses unto him. He's prepared us all to give him glory and praise. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Our breath was prepared to praise the Lord. God prepares certain things for a certain purpose and a certain reason. And in our life, we are prepared. Prepared to be in His image. Again, prepared to praise Him. Prepared to spread His word. Prepared. But Jonah did not want to go. Jonah didn't want to go. He just simply didn't want to go. And at least Jonah said what was in his heart. He knew that God was a gracious God. And from saying all that he was saying, you have to take from that that Jonah did not want Nineveh to live. Did not want them to survive. He was angry. He said, take my life from me. It's better for me to live, to die, than to live. And God asked Jonah, dost thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well? Listen, are we doing well to be doing not what we're prepared to do? Do you understand that? Are we doing well to not be doing what we're prepared to do? His anger, he was angry, but he wasn't doing well being angry. He wasn't doing well to be angry. That thing was hindering him from doing well. And he wasn't doing well to be angry. And when God asked him the second time, here's more or less what Jonah said. Yeah, I'm so angry, I could die. I'm so mad, I could die. Can you imagine a preacher, a prophet, saying, I'm so mad, I could die? Because God spared the city of Nineveh? I'm so mad, I could die. There's something wrong in the life of Jonah. Something wrong. But he cared more. Listen, God tried to use the gourd to show him that his care was out of kilter. That he could care more for a gourd that just sprung up out of the earth. The creation of God was the people of Nineveh not more of a creation of God than the gourd was? Surely it is. Surely the Lord even taught, you're worth more than many sparrows. And surely the city of Nineveh was worth more than many gourds. Not just one gourd. But you look how that Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. How could Jonah think that he was going to get away from the presence of the Lord? That God was only in where he was? Found a ship going to Tarshish? He thought maybe God's not in Tarshish? What was on Jonah's mind that Jonah thought? Did Jonah think that God was just in the temple made with hands? That God could not follow him? That God could not find him where he was at? That God did not know everything that Jonah was doing? However, then would God send a storm when he got on the ship? Why? Because God knew exactly where Jonah was. God prepared a storm to prepare Jonah. Have you ever had a storm in your life? It could have been a prepared storm to prepare you. A prepared storm, no doubt, it does prepare us. Every storm God has allowed us to go through and sail through, He did it to prepare our lives for something that God wants us to do. God prepared that storm. Prepared the storm. A prepared storm does this. It does let you know that God knows right where you are. How come is it that when we're in a storm, the first thing we say is, God, don't you see where I am? Yeah, that's exactly why I sent the storm. I want you to look at me. I want you to follow me. I want you to look up to me, Jonah. Quit running, Jonah. Quit thinking. Quit being angry, Jonah. I sent you to go to Nineveh. I didn't send you to go to Tarshish. I sent you to go to Nineveh. It's, you know, in our life, sometimes we will pause the work of God or pause the thing that God is trying to get us to do. We'll put a stop on it by trying to go in another direction. Trying to sail in another direction. We think that we're putting a pause on the bell. All that is gives God the opportunity to let us know He knows where we are. And that we are halting and that we are pausing. I'm glad that Nineveh, though, did not suffer the hand of God because of Jonah. Could you imagine if Jonah waiting, if it would have been his fault that the judgment would have failed because he did not go? That's something to think about. But the word of the Lord in chapter 3, it came unto Jonah the second time. The second time. Now, I'll give this to Jonah. I heard a preacher say this years ago, and it stuck with me. God only had to tell Jonah twice to get him to go to Nineveh. How many times has God had to tell us, do this, before we finally did it? Over. Many times. Over. I don't know how many times God told me to preach before I finally did it. I don't know how many times God was so merciful to me. Look, I mean, God was as merciful to Jonah as He was to the gourd or to Nineveh, that God would come to him again a second time. That's mercy and grace that God would speak a second time. God shouldn't have to say things but once. But He came and spoke to him a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." The preaching that I bid thee. See, the message was prepared by God. Jonah didn't have to think what he was going to do. He knew exactly where to go and what to say. You talk about being commissioned by God. This man had a commission. That's what he was prepared to do. He was a prophet, and he wasn't prophesying. He was a prophet that wasn't preaching. He was an evangelist that was not going. He was God's man that was being disobedient to God. I mean, we can be pretty hard on Jonah's life, but could you imagine if somebody looked at our life written on page, what they might say about me? What they might say about my actions? The times that God, if it was written down, the times that God said, "I want you to do this, and I'm going to tell you exactly what to say and what to do. I'm going to lead you. I'll show you what to do." Well, we have God's Word written right before us. Many times you and I don't have to wait till we hear that small, still voice in our spirit and our heart. We have the Word of God loudly on page telling us what we must do, what we need to do, what he has commissioned us, called us to do. Us that are saved, every one of us that are saved. If you want to underline it, go back in chapter 2, verse 17. The Lord had prepared a great fish. Jonah had prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Out of the fish's belly. This is when Jonah cried by reason of mine affliction. So the whale was an affliction unto the Lord. He said, mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now this is the one time in hell, he's not talking about hellfire. This is the one time that word is used. I preached about it here a while back. It was like a grave to Jonah. It's not the same word that God uses of hell, burning fire. And there is a word for that. People have tried to use that and tried to take hell out of the Bible, the reality of hell, the reality of burning fire, the reality of eternity, because of something that Jonah said when he was in the belly of hell. He was in the belly of a fish. He was in the belly of a whale. He wasn't in hell from beneath that's moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. He wasn't in that hell, no. No, he wasn't. But those are the compromisers that will take something like that and rest the Scripture for their own destruction. That's not talking about hell fire. But it was hell to Jonah. Like that was his end. Thou hast cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. You look at that one verse. Now listen, sometimes we don't see the things prepared that come through our life. We may not see some things as much of anything, but listen, God prepared the deep, the seas, the floods, the billows, the waves. Each one for Jonah at this particular time. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight. God, I'm so far down, I'm so far away. God, you can't even see me. Really? Really? You see, he thought the way we think, because of our infirmity, because of our storm, because of the belly of hell that we've entered into, somehow we think God is unable to see us. God is preparing us. God is preparing us. When you read all the way into the end of chapter 4, it looks like Jonah never did turn his heart fully to the Lord. He was still mad enough to die. We have nothing else after Jonah chapter 4. We have the picture that our Lord used of Jonah being in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But no more story. No more Jonah. No more after, I'm so mad I could die. Nothing. Nothing. You would have thought, after all that God did in his life, and I have seen people, And this is one of the tragedies of Jonah. I believe Jonah was saved. I believe he was. He was a prophet. Prophet of Israel. Prophet of God. Used of God. But something about him and something about this place and this one time that Jonah was angry with, mad over. You would think after all that he went through, all that God prepared, isn't it amazing all the things that God will do for one person? For one person. That God takes that much care for one person. Now listen, God's doing things for Jonah, and at the same time, God's doing things for a whole city. See, God didn't have to stop helping Jonah because he was helping the city over here. Isn't that good that God can help you and me and you at the same time? That's the omniscience of God. That God can be preparing things for one and another. God is not confused tonight. Amen? But you think of all the things that God did to prepare Jonah, or to help Jonah, and that Jonah didn't receive what God had given him. I've seen people. I'm about done. I've seen people. I'm about done for tonight. Stay with me for a minute. I've seen people in my Christian life since I've been preaching that you can see God work with them and work with them and work with them and work with them. I mean, things, God let them go through a storm. You think they're going to, you know, because they do. They hit the shore running. They may seemingly do one thing that God asked them to do. He preached that message. What, the 8 words? Yep, 40 days and Nineveh shall fall. What a message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There it is, verse 4, chapter 3. Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. How many days, I wonder, that God dealt with Jonah from the first time he talked with him? But I've seen people, God preparing things and they're doing things in their lives. And then just like Jonah, their life, their story just kind of comes to an end. And you don't ever see anything else out of them. I don't want my life to end that way. I don't want my life to end that way, just to come to an abrupt stop. You know, because I wouldn't let God, you know, as he's preparing these things to prepare my life, I want it to do something in me that God wants it to do in me. God was dealing with his anger. So a couple of times, at least, he said, Jonah, are you doing well to be angry? That thing that God is working on just to try to get Jonah prepared. Prepared for what, Brother Mark? I will never know. He did one thing. He went to Nineveh. He preached the 8 words. Come back upon the hill, mad. It's untelling what Jonah could have done. It's untelling what could have been written. The book of Jonah could have been like the book of Isaiah. You ever think about that? The book of Jonah might have been like the book of Jeremiah. But it stops. Oh my. I don't want my Christian life to be hindered by me. By my unwillingness. By my unwillingness. By my disobedience or whatever that it is that I put out there in spite of everything that God is preparing. Listen, if you see these things coming into your life, look up and say, Lord, thank you that you're still preparing things for me. Thank you, Father, that you have your eye on me. Thank him. No wonder the Bible says in everything, give thanks. Maybe we can thank God for some of these things. Just knowing that God's put it there for a purpose for us. Put it there for a reason, because he wants to speak to us a second time. He wants to send us still. This is the last thing I'm doing. There's been times I thought maybe I missed my chance. I don't know if Jonah ever felt that. Maybe he missed his chance. You know, after the boat running, being thrown over, whale swallowed, but God spoke to him a second time. He was able to go and do. I don't want to ever feel like I've wasted my chance. I don't want to ever feel like I've wasted my opportunity to do what God wants me to do. Because he can come to us again. He will come to us again. I'm glad that God is a God. Well, that's a good one to underline. Thou art a gracious God. Chapter 4, verse 2. And merciful, slow to anger. Not like Jonah. And of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. What evil? Well, in this, like many other times, he says the Lord repented of the evil that he would do. It's not that God would sin, it's the judgment that he would have poured out. The evil that they thought would have come upon them. The wrath. What about a king? God, you don't think God prepared that king? Doesn't the Bible say that God raises up men, kings? He has kings in the palm of his hand. Here's one, when he heard the message, he said, everybody, don't eat, don't drink. We're going to fast and repent. Well, there was a prepared king, wasn't it? Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. So many things about this story I love. The things that God prepares to prepare a heart. God's just preparing your heart. God's preparing my heart. For what, Brother Mark? For the days, things ahead. For the journey ahead. For the things he'd have us to do. Listen, it's not always, I'm not saying that God all the time has to send us through a storm he gave him a gourd to shade him. That was nice. Gave him the stuff to, fix his little booth. His little place he could crawl in out of the heat. That was nice. All that God prepared that it was handy for him to have. It wasn't all, fish swallowing, storms raging. I want you to stand this evening. God